Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings, and today we are joined by a singer and a songwriter, or maybe it should be songwriter and singer. We'll find out and get into that as we go along. Skip Ewing is with us. He's at home in Wyoming right now, which he named his last album after. Welcome to the show, Skip. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, you have written 11 number one songs for other artists. Why do you keep giving them away?
Well, you know, it just kind of worked out that way. I mean, Larry, the honest truth is I never set out and said, hey, I have to be a star or I have to be a songwriter. I just was playing guitar since before I can remember. And it grew into that's how I expressed my heart and myself. And when I went to Nashville, I followed some work and then I got signed as a, you know, at a publishing company, and then George Jones cut the first song and I went to Nashville right out of high school, you know, it just grew that way. And long story short, I did cut a record and it went pretty well. I had several, you know, it was called The Coast of Colorado. It had several hits on it, at least in the top 20. And, but then honestly, when I approached the next record, I played my producer and the record company, I played them some of the songs that I wanted to record that I thought were going to be, you know, exceptionally the best I could give them. And I was told they were terrible. That's really what happened. And then what happened is other artists cut them and I was having number one songs and, you know, songs of the year on songs that were terrible, you know, but hey, I fed my family. I was able to raise my daughter. And so, you know, so they were always connected to me, though. Songwriting, singing, the way I express myself. They're all part of the voice of my heart, if I'm able to say that as well as I can. But that's how it happened.
Was it always country music for you?
I studied everything. Country was always around me, but there was also pop. I mean, you know, my biggest influences as a writer were James Taylor and Merle Haggard. I had to choose two. They're disparate in a way, but they're very similar in another. And I think that there's the way they express themselves, different and also similar. The guitar playing, James's guitar playing, guitar has always been a really integral part. In fact, it continues to be, of course, of what I share. And those kinds of influences shaped, I think, what I ended up offering. You know?
Mm-hmm. I know that growing up in Wyoming, that's the wild, wild west. I mean, Wyoming was where everything was set. The cowboy and Indian movies always took place in Wyoming, in the mountains. What's the best part about living in Wyoming?
Wow. There are so many great parts about living in Wyoming, Larry, that for me, but that's for me. I mean, I joke, everyone says, oh my gosh, it must be so beautiful. And believe me, it is. I mean, we live in the northwestern corner of Wyoming. And so it's an hour or so from the southern entrance of Yellowstone. That's the kind of country that we live in.
Wow.
And we live in a little bitty cabin. I mean, smaller than most apartments, okay? But we live in heaven. I can throw a rock at a lake. I look up at the glacier. I have bighorn sheep in my driveway. I also don't have any fast food, no stoplight, don't have any cell service. There's certainly no pizza delivery or anything like that out here. But it moves me. The culture out here moves me. The fact that it's quiet. I mean, there's not noise pollution. I feel grounded. And the way I've explained it is, you know, I mean, I left Nashville, lived there for years, and I got to a place where I didn't feel like I was able to make a living expressing myself with my artistry. And I think of songwriting and singing as artistry. I mean, I really couldn't express myself the way that I wanted to offer my audience what I had to offer. And so I left Nashville to study horsemanship. I was crazy about horses. It was a spiritual journey for me, and I learned a lot about myself from horses that I don't think I would have learned any other way. Mm-hmm. It changed my relationship. It changed my relationship with my wife, my relationship with animals, my friends. It even changes my relationship with you and the audience that I'm sharing my music with. Ultimately, I met my wife, and she's an incredible photographer and videographer, and she got a job in Houston. And I said, I like Houston. I love playing there. I don't know if I want to live in concrete. It's not because she was going to live right in town. I said, let's just go to Wyoming on faith and see what happens. Because if I go there, I feel like that's a place where I can put the roots of what I'm doing, the roots of my artistry, but even just who I am. I'm in my element, and I can grow the best human up in me as possible living here. So that's what we did, Larry. I mean, we weren't expecting it. We got this little house I was caretaking a property. We got offered to stay in this little house, but it's in heaven. I mean, it's like, you know, and we've been here 5 years.
Wow.
You know,
and what's working for you, you know, yeah, you like, so I heard someone, I was told that you got a ranch.
Well, I don't have a ranch. I don't own the place that we're on.
Oh, okay.
Remember, because I left Nashville, I was working horses, and even a lot of the places where I worked, people didn't know my music background. I didn't tell them. Mm-hmm. I just worked with horses. When I was traveling to do clinics and working with another clinician on the road, I really didn't, you know, talk about it that much. Although I still played, you know, some. It wasn't the focus of what I was about. And so when we came to Wyoming, it was kind of quick. My wife Linda got hired to shoot a television show up on the pass, and there was someone who needed help and it's a beautiful, it's a historic ranch, I mean, you know. And they said, hey, can you caretake for us, and you guys can have the original cabin on the property, it's beautiful. Well, I went up and I said, well, sure. I mean, sure. And so I went up there, cared for everything on the ranch. You know, we're able to have our horses here and their horse here. And they didn't know that I had anything to do with music when they first, they just knew that I was capable of, you know, taking care of a ranch or whatever had to happen. And then they liked having us here. And of course, I went to them and said, hey, you know, this is the other part of what I do. And we're about to jump back into that in a big way because of what I started writing here. In fact, I wrote most of the Wyoming record hit this, you know, at our house here. And it's just unexpected turns. It's just, I guess that's in a way, it's just listening to the universe, mate. I mean, it's like, yeah. Okay, I'm listening.
Destiny will guide you, right? You know,
never would have expected it. Never would have. Yeah.
Skip Ewing is our guest here, and he has a new album, Road to California, that's coming out probably early 2024. We'll talk more about the new album with Skip. But first, I want to get you to do a song, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we had talked about which songs to play. I'm excited to do that. But I thought I might play the single that's just coming out. It's just coming out. It's the second single off the what we hope is going to be the Road to California album. And when I'm approaching our projects now for me, because I'm writing for me as an artist, I just make the connection with my audience. And part of that audience, I realized, relates to some things the same way that I do. And one of those is animals. I mean, at our house, Larry, dog hair is a fashion statement and a condiment. I mean, it's everywhere, right? Just like, hey, there's not a pocket in any clothes that I have that doesn't have hay in it, right? But one day I just had this cool riff I was playing with. I was just ripping on the guitar, just thinking, what can I do with this? And our dog's name is Shotgun because of the seat he likes to hang out in. You know, when he was a pup, he really wanted to be. Now he's so big, it's hard to keep him in the front seat, right? But as I was driving home from where I was riding, because I go over to another house, right? And I thought, well, this is crazy, but I bet everyone who has dog as part of their family will understand what I mean with this song. And then I said, the only way to do it is to let the dog sing. So there you go. I'm going to sing a song called Road Dog, and it's about the dog who's singing.
All right, here's Skip Ewing on Border Crossings.
Facing the cold wind, watch the world roll by. I don't need to know where we're going. I don't need to know why. Hell with the wine. Stop signs. I just need a pit stop every now and then along the roadside. I'm a rider, I'm a rover, I'm a different breed. Backseat driver with a pedigree. Life looks better from a passenger seat. Pick up the keys, let's go. I'm a road dog. I'm a good dog. paw prints, wet nose smudges on the windows. Love me a truck stop, love me a hotel, love me a drive-thru, finger licking chicken if it goes well. If I know we're leaving, I'm the first in line. Brand new journey for me every time. Don't want company, I'll change your mind. Pick up the treats, let's roll, I'm a road dog. I'm a rider, I'm a rover, I'm a different breed. Backseat driver with a pedigree. Life looks better from a passenger seat. Pick up the keys, let's go. If I know we're leaving, I'm the first in line. Brand new journey for me every time. Don't want company, I'll change your mind. I got the leash, let's roll, I'm a road dog. I'm a good dog.
Crossings, that's Road Dog. Skip Ewing, the writer, the singer, the performer, and the pet owner is here with us today. Which...
there you go.
And that's, you know, I'm sure the music video is going to have your real dog riding shotgun with you.
Oh, there's no question about it. We'll have a, you know, Shotgun's going to been in a whole bunch of videos. He's, like I said, he's everywhere. And we just, a lot of what we film, man, we don't have a lot of choice. I just do whatever's there. You know, here's what I got. You know, and he'll definitely be in it. But for the Road Dog video that's going to be coming out, I asked our audience, our fans base, and whatever. I said, let me put your dog in the video with our dog. And so, I mean, and I got a zillion awesome photos of dogs traveling, you know, wearing sunglasses with their head out the car on a, I think, you know, we had some in a canoe. We got all these cool photos of people who sent their dogs in. It makes me smile that people are so connected to their pets like that. I mean, that's just a good thing about what we do. And I'm anxious for that video to come out. But yeah, it'll star Shotgun, but it'll have a lot of other people's dogs in it.
And the new album is called Road to California. And you said maybe it'll be called Road to California. Is there a chance that you'll change the name?
The thing is that all along this project, we've never been able to like sort of anchor and say, this is what is going to happen, right? So we had the album finished, completely finished, we thought. And then I wrote a song called Knots, and it had an important message that I really felt like I needed to say. And I called Kyle Lenning, my producer, and I said, I really think we should go back in and cut this. So we did. And then that ended up being the first single that came out later than we thought a first single was going to come out. Then Apple Music surprised us in the right after we put Knots out with an inclusion of a song I wrote called with Dean Dillon called I Would If I Could, in a program called Lost and Found, where they found a song that we wrote a while back, and another artist is going to cover that song. And so that was like, well, we have to give them space to have that. And so now Road Dog is coming out later than we thought. And I'm like, well, I don't know when the next single's coming out. And now we can't project exactly when the record's coming out. Just happy that these things are happening for us. And Road to California was a working title, because it's one of the songs on the that just sort of became the way we described the project. We never said, oh, that's going to be the title, you know, until we went, well, I guess that's the title, you know. So we haven't printed anything, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. But it wasn't actually in stone, you know. We didn't say that's it, but I guess that's it.
Skip Ewing is with us, and looking at your accomplishments, not only, as I mentioned earlier, 11 number one songs that you've written, you've also been nominated for Grammy, CMA, ACM. You're a CMA Triple Play Award winner, a BMI Songwriter of the Year. Now, if somebody called you up and said, okay, Skip, here's the deal. You can pick one or the other, songwriting or singing. That's it, one or the other. What's it going to be?
Well, the thing is that if you ask me that question, I'm going to tell you that they're not separable. It's not something I can separate. If you ask me to say, I'm just going to be this, you're only going to do that, it wouldn't be connected to my heart the way it is with my approach. And it would be more like ivy that had grown together. If you ask me to tear it apart, it's never going to come across clean. There's not a way to separate that. And for me, when I think of what my artistry is, it's the expression of what my heart is about, whether no matter how happy that is, no matter how deep that is, and I think of songwriting like painting. I mean, I think of it the same way as sitting down at a canvas. Where's the light coming from? How's the shadow handled? What are the brushstrokes like? What kind of texture is there in it? And that's musically and lyrically. Those things typically grow up together. And that is what I call my voice. When I say to someone, I'm able to express my voice as an artist. Part of what I would say is my artistry is the writing of those songs. Not that I can't cover someone else's songs. There's amazing pieces that I have, sung and that I respect and love. But that's where I come from. So it's not really, you can't really draw a line through it and say there's one or the other for me, because the well is here. Mm-hmm. It's not separate. Yeah.
Do you remember the very first song you wrote?
I don't. Gosh, I was so young. I mean, I was making stuff up when I was little. I really didn't have a lot of time to play guitar, but everyone, but my, I was supposed to be good at it, So I would take a woman's foam curler, the pink ones, they're the exact right size if you're a guitar player and you're paying attention to us here. And I would take and put it up under my strings and push it all the way down on the saddle of my guitar. And what that does is mute the strings so they barely make any sound, but you can hear the tune. I would stay up at night and just play whatever I could think up, because I wasn't getting a lot of lessons. I didn't know a bunch of music, and I messed around and did things that I wasn't even supposed to do on guitar, Those things ended up, just because I was making stuff up, I began to make up words to go with it. And it was very organic the way songwriting, grew out of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was doing it so young. I don't know the first song. I have no idea what the first song is that I wrote.
Yeah. Some people write a song that, then they go back to it. They look back and say, when I was nine, where was I at? What was I thinking? Mm-hmm. And then they, it's kind of funny and interesting to look back. Now, as you've written all these songs and these, they're like babies. You wrote a song, it's your baby, and you give it away to another artist. When artists perform your music, they can change the stuff, the sound from what you gave them. How does that make you feel as a songwriter when people are, because you were talking about how personal the songwriting is to you. Mm-hmm. And then somebody says, here's my interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm. I actually celebrate that. I celebrate it because as an artist, they're going to bring as a singer and the energy behind that and what their vision is, they're going to bring, an element, a dimension to that performance of that song that is unique to them. And if there is something that's unique to them, I celebrate that for them because they know who they are as an artist. And I love that. I think it's not only is it good for them, but it's wonderful for their audience. And I always feel honored, because if you think about it kind of the other way around, here's an artist who knows what they're about and wants to be successful, and they chose my song as one of the elements that expresses who they are and that hopefully keeps them in business, mm-hmm. But yeah, I celebrate that. I've had a few people change some words without saying anything to me. And, I'm not going to say that that's necessarily a good or a bad thing. But for the most part, people don't do that. And, mm-hmm. They stay true to what I've written, which I also appreciate. I really do work very hard to make it as right as I can when it goes out. And there's usually reasons behind everything I do, man. So,
well, Skip Ewing has written songs for Clint Black, Kenny Rogers, Keith Urban, Willie Nelson. So I'm not going to put you on the spot and say who was your favorite to work with, but I will ask you who is on your wish list that you'd like to write for or work with.
That hasn't recorded?
that hasn't recorded your songs yet? One.
You know, I mean, it's a crazy thought, but James Taylor would be one of those people. If James thought enough about something that I wrote, I would think that was pretty amazing. You know, there were a lot of people like Willie and Merle and George Strait and, you know, a lot of people that I just loved that I hope would record songs, and they have. Bonnie Raitt was another one of those, was another one of those people. And in fact, Keb Moe was one of those people. I love Keb Moe as a blues artist, an acoustic blues artist. And I shouldn't say acoustic, but I always connect his guitar playing with his singing. So amazing. And I got to write with him and have a song on his record. And of course, as things went along, there were more and more artists that, you know, that I discovered or that were popular that I was so honored to have songs recorded by. But yeah, those are some of them. Yeah. I kind of stopped making that list. I wanted Bonnie. In fact, Bonnie Raitt had one of my songs on hold. And I thought I was going to get Bonnie was going to sing one of the songs. And it ended up being a number one song for Brian White, because they called me and said, can we please, please, please cut this song? You know, Bonnie might cut it, but we're for sure going to cut it. I really didn't have any choice. I had to honor their request. And so it was a number one song for Brian White called I'm Not Supposed to Love You Anymore. And now I just say it's the best Bonnie Raitt cut I've never had.
We've got Skip Ewing on the show. Road to California is the title of the album right now. But who knows what down the road will bring. Now, if you wouldn't mind doing another song, we'd like to hear something from you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I really think it'll be called The Road to California. It's just funny how this whole project has, we just had to ebb and flow, man. One of the things I've practiced a long time is martial arts. I'm very into Tai Chi, and that's it, man. It's just, it's just balance, man. And so just allow it, you know, with the best stewardship that we can. Well, I mentioned to you previously that I wrote a song called Knots kind of at the last minute. I had mentioned the idea to my wife, and I thought it might be a concept thing even for a whole album, to use all of the metaphors that Knots could bring to the table. But there was something powerful in my idea of Knots, and the best way to describe it was using fishing line. And it took me a long while to figure out how to say it. It's about mental health, which is a big subject, but it's also about courage, and it's about self-efficacy and what we as humans contend with, the gravel in our shoes, man. It's just, you don't see it, but it's there for everyone. And the more we're aware of that, I think the better our relationships are, the more compassionate we can be, the more understanding. And I like to endeavor to put those in songs. Sometimes it has a lot to say. I have to take that chance because I believe in that. And so, yeah, let us play a Knots.
All right. Knots, okay. Skip Ewing, right here on Border Crossings.
He was picking at a snarl, fishing line, kind of talking to himself. I asked, are you all right? He said, you mean my physical or mental health? He held up his hand and said, it doesn't matter, I'm just thankful that you care. A lot of people pass me by, most of them completely unaware. Can't see my future, nor my past, or feel the gravel in my shoes. I don't compare my suffering, we're all just different shades of black and blue. I've thought myself unworthy, been a shadow, felt my sanity was lost. But I found the strength and courage and the grace to keep me working on these knots. Well, he looked down at the filament, then he held it up and asked what I could see. There's memories that hurt so much in there, My brain is hidden them from me. And I thought of cutting bait, but in my mind, it was a coward's way to go. Gave up cigarettes and pills and booze to keep from killing myself slow. You can't see my future, know my past, or feel the gravel in my shoes. I don't compare my suffering. We're all just different shades of black and blue. Thought myself unworthy, been a shadow, felt my sanity was lost. But I found the strength and courage and the grace to keep me working on these nights. Sometimes a one unravels and reveals me to myself. And sometimes I can manage running headlong into hell. Other times, not so much. He didn't want my money or my pity. He was happy just to talk. So he talked a little more of peace and war before I went on with my walk. And my handshake couldn't thank him for his service, but I think he knew my mind. We saw ourselves a little clearer in a mirror made of hope, fish and light. You can't see my future, nor my past, or feel the gravel in my shoes. I don't compare my suffering. We're all just different shades of black and blue. I thought myself unworthy, been a shadow, felt my sanity was lost. But I found the strength and courage and the grace to keep me working on these nights. Man, I'm working on these nights.
Border Crossings, that's Skip Ewing and Knots, and that is the first song to come out off of the upcoming new album. Yeah. And so, you know, you talked about writing songs about mental health, you know, that had touched on mental health issues and things. It's a very personal journey as a songwriter. You can express yourself. It's therapeutic. You can express things and feelings and thoughts about what you're going through, what you see other people going through in your music. It's got to feel gratifying, you know, and especially if a fan comes up to you and said, you know, hey, Skip, the song you wrote, da 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 da, really changed my life or something.
Yeah, it is fulfilling. One of the things that I try to do in my songs, as I like to say, space is love. I'm not the first person to say that, but I like to say that space is love. And what I mean by that is that when I'm approaching it, I might be approaching a story. I might be telling a story that's not exactly your story or the story of someone you know, but there are going to be the human elements that are similar. So that when your story, what you've gone through in your life and what you know in your life, when you hear that song, you're able to put your life into that and have that similarity be a powerful connection. I try to do that, you know, as a writer. And I have had people come up to me and say, man, I know you hear this all the time, but you wrote my favorite song, or this song was our wedding song, or whatever. And I, every time that happens, Larry, I try to say, you're right. I have had people tell me that I wrote their favorite song or those kinds of things. I'm always honored. But the truth is, I've never heard it from you. And I just heard it from you. On my side of writing that song, I even as I'm working, I don't like to, I've reached hundreds of millions of people with what I've written. But sometimes we just lump. I mean, 100 million people isn't even something we can conceive. 1 million people isn't even something our brain can wrap around, right? But so I work to think about that individual and their heart, where that's touching them, because that's exactly where the meaningful connection. I know that happens to me. James Taylor, I don't know James Taylor. I've met him, but I don't know him. There's a song I can tell you that just smacked me, that I went, wow, that's so powerful, you know. And that was me. And so I think of the other people, and all of those hearts are amazingly important. And if I can write something that reaches that heart, what an incredible thing. How did that even happen? I mean, you know, seriously, like, I've gone to other countries and people know all the words to my songs, can play them and freak out when I play them. They don't even speak English, and yet it mattered to them because they know what it's about. I'm humbled every time, but it's also what drives me. If I can put something in the world that does that with my efforts, hey man, I'm about it, and I will do my best to continue to do it as long as I'm supported. And that's what's happening, I think, more than ever now that I'm approaching my music this way. I'm not under any constraints, and I can stretch out and write something that has a mental health element. But you know, it has an element about veterans and, you know, potential of PTSD. But it's also about that positive journey, man. There's a way to heal, and there's people who care. And that matters.
Well, you're grounded. You are nice to talk to. You're obviously likable, which all of those things are very important to be in the business that you're in. Now, when you're touring the world, do you have favorite places you like to go?
Wow. You know, I have done shows in a lot of places. Most of the stuff overseas that I've done has been with, for the service. For the
U.S. Ocean.
And, yeah. And I love to travel. So I'm sure there's places that I haven't gone that I want to play, you know, like I want to play in Ireland and Scotland. And I know that's where, you know, that's where my roots are. Some of that, because Ewing was originally McEwen, for everything I can figure out, you know, so I'm anxious to play there. But the places, like, each place that we play, I don't know if I'm going to explain this. I will try. But each place that we play, I have a band that I put together called Horsepower 307. Horsepower is obvious to some people because that drove me into making the music that I make now. But 307 is the area code for Wyoming, for the whole state. So it's sort of, you know, Wyoming kind of drives me now. So I put that together. And they are some of the most incredible musicians. If I have a show, we get hired like that. There are certain people that I call the basis of this band, and they're all amazing musicians. People like Josh Matheny and Janae Fleener and Barry Bales. Those are the amazing musicians that will come and play that. This allows us to play this kind of music and make it special every time we play it. It won't be exactly the same. I will change our show based on the energy of the audience that night. People will come and they'll like say, I mean, we're from Indiana and you're playing in Texas and we came all the way down here because it's the only time we can, you know, or I'm playing a Christmas show somewhere in Wyoming and somebody's flown in from Louisiana. I mean, it's like, seriously. And then they'll say, man, we came all this way. Can you please play? I am always going to try to, you know, to do that. And the bigger the audience gets, the more of that there ends up being, you know, and so feeling the energy. So it's the places where, when I feel the appreciation of an audience, man, I cherish it. It's not just here I am and you're supposed to like this. It's here we are, endeavoring to make a moment, to kind of erase the proscenium sometimes, you know, that line between the stage and the audience, and just be people. In fact, I have a song on the Wyoming album called The Juggler. And I love to sing that because it literally says, man, I'm juggling all these things in my life on the stage. That's true. But we're all juggling it just the same. And that connection. So my favorite places to play are where we are. We're able to make the connect in a place where you can really hear lyrics and communication and sort of appreciate the exchange. And there's a lot of those when I have the kind of audiences that I have. So trying to pick a favorite, impossible. Impossible.
We're so lucky to have Skip Ewing on. Over a million Spotify streams for the previous album. I'm sure when the new one comes out, it'll be the same. You have these huge numbers, mega numbers. We're talking about gigantic numbers. So I just, you know, Skip, is that your real name?
It's not my real name. It's the only name I've gone by.
I thought that might have been dad gave it to you, grandpa gave it to you, or you
know. No, I was named with their names, and I never connected with that. Mm. And you know, Skip just came as a nickname, and it stuck. And I've never used anything but that. No one has ever really known me as anything but that ever since I was little. Yeah.
And speaking of names, and you were talking about your fans, do your fans have a name? What's the Skip Ewing fan club called?
We haven't really done a Skip Ewing fan club. I think of everything in our organization as Horsepower 307. It's like,
there you go.
It's behind me. And there's an important thing that you brought up. Excuse me. That's an important thing. I like to say, like, I always refer to albums and things we have coming out. So people say, when you say that, I always say our new album, or we have a new album coming out. I know it says Skip Ewing. I know that it says that, but the connectedness that always recognizing there's a relationship between that, I think is super important, even for audiences. That's part of my we. When I think about that, those are the people that are making it possible for me to do what I love. You are those people who are allowing that to happen. My appreciation is gigantic, you know, about that. And so I say we, because my approach is, man, I wrote these by myself. True. I can say it's my song. But then my performance, everything about what I do is affected by the artistry of these of other musicians who come to do that, of the incredible ideas that Kyle Lenning has, and even when I say, you know, my wife, I couldn't do it without my wife. Now I wouldn't be able to do that. When I left Nashville to study horsemanship, I really connected with a lot of things with horses, but that's one of the major things. If you work with a horse and you forget that it's we. You know, that if you're up on top of a horse, it's a we no matter what. Okay. Right. If you forget that it's we, that there's a relationship there, it probably won't go good for the human. All right. but knowing that. And so my awareness is that as much as possible. I know I kind of moved a little bit away from what your question was, but it's such an important part of what I believe in. I think that kind of gets left behind sometimes. So I like to go in the studio with these amazing players and make the music then. Like for Road Dog, for instance, I call, you know, the actual record starts out really cool. It's got amazing players. I mean, really, it does. And our idea was to go ahead and keep it like this acoustic, really cool, almost bluegrass vibe. But we put, you know, B3 organ in it. And then the next thing you know, then the band starts overtaking it. It turns into Brent Mason playing electric guitar. And those kind of moments have to happen together. I like to say it's breathing the same air. And that's the same thing it is when we play a show live. We're breathing the same air. So
I love it. I love it. Skip Ewing is our guest. You're going to do another song for us?
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I would love to. I mean, I played a couple things off the, we played a couple things off the new album, but the Wyoming record is still, it's almost like it's still being discovered. I mean, that's what's crazy about it, is that it's been out for a couple of years, but it's only just now getting discovered. You know, I'm getting to do these kind of talks with you.
One word. That's all you said. And something in your voice caused me to turn my head. Your smile just captured me. And you were in my future far as I could see. And I don't know how it happened, but it happened still. You asked me if I love you, if I always will. Well, you had me from hello, And I felt love start to grow the moment that I looked into your eyes. You owned me and it was over from the start. You completely stole my heart and now you won't let go. I never even had a chance, you know. You had me from hello. Inside, well, I built a wall so high around my heart, I thought I'd never fall. But one touch, you brought it down. The bricks of my defenses scattered on the ground. And I swore to me I wasn't gonna love again. The last time was the last time I'd let someone in. But you had me from hello. And I felt love start to grow the moment that I looked into your eyes. You owned me. It was over from the start. You completely stole my heart. And now you won't let go. I never even had a chance, you know. You had me from hello. That's all you said. You had me from hello. You had me right from the start. Girl, I've loved you from hello.
So you have the new album coming out. And as you mentioned, Wyoming is doing so well for you. What about a tour? What's the plan for the future for the next 6 months or so?
Well, you know, I've got a few scattered dates that are coming up, here. And I don't know when this will air. I don't want to say where the dates are before this comes out, you know. But I've got a few dates, but then we have a Christmas tour that's going to be happening pretty much the whole month of December. I don't have all of the dates back, you know, with the confirmations to be able to release all that information, but we will be out for pretty much the whole month of December. Christmas is a big time. I've written, you know, several very successful Christmas songs and had my own album, and we have a wonderful time. It's such a fun time of the year. And then into 2024, of course, in the meantime, we're releasing music and we'll have music, the album coming out, and we already have dates booking into 2024. So we're really, really hoping that we're going to have the opportunity to have the whole Horsepower 307 band out with me. So it's Skip Ewing and Horsepower 307, and we can do the kinds of concerts and offer some live experiences like we really want to do. And if the indications are that, it looks like that's starting to gear up. It's only just starting to gear up, and that's making us excited.
Now, as the machine chugs along and the wheels churn, where can people go to get the tour dates? So we don't have to say a date that we don't know when it's going to air, but but if people go to your websites, they can find your tour.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to skipewing.com, SKIPEWING.com. You know, everything is on our website, but we're on all the socials too, just at Skip Ewing for almost everything. On Bands in Town, if you want to get alerted when we have, but if you go on the website, you can just click the tour dates and it'll show up for you. And we're pretty engaged in our social media. So even that, if you have a question, man, I'm pretty available. They'll always tell me that someone asks a question. I try to answer as many of them personally. Wow. As I can, you know, at this point, we're not, you know, it's not impossible to do that. And so I really try. Same like what I was saying about the Road Dog video. We've got hundreds and hundreds of pictures. It's so fun. And again, that interaction is fulfilling and it's fun. So, get a hold of me. Come check us out on socials.
Now, speaking of interaction, I want to give you a chance to say hi to the audience now. If there's anything you want to say to our worldwide audience in 100 countries, and who all know you, or also you can throw in the troops there who are tuned in as well.
Sure. Well, the main thing that I will always try to relate is it's an effort to listen. You make a decision to listen, and it's more and more rare that we do that. So if you chose to listen to this, then I hope that we offered you something that was really worth listening to. And that is an effort behind what I do. So if you come and listen, which I hope you will, I'm writing things that I feel like if you listen to what the lyric is about and what's really happening with it musically, that there's something there of merit. I like to say I want to write things that are meaningful, even if it's meaningful, super fun, you know? So know that if you do that, my appreciation is there. I will go right back to that space about it's that particular heart. So as much as you would think that it wouldn't be connected, it really is. It really is. And if we make that connection, then I'm able to keep making that music. And if you like it and appreciate it, I hope that you'll tell others about it. But that's what we're about. So that appreciation is beyond my ability to express. That's the only reason why any of us who do music get to do what we do. Mm. So thank you. Yeah.
Well, you do it so well, and we're glad to have the opportunity to have you on and to talk to you. Thank you for making the time for us. Road to California is the name of the new album from Skip Ewing, who's our guest today. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.